Well, I don't want to get too wonky, you know, too NFL nerdy here, John, but watching the video from the rookie camp where J.J. McCarthy is making his grand entrance to the Minnesota sports scene, I just don't know if a guy with that kind of hair can fail. I think he's a lock.
I think the locks make him a lock. Yes, is ready to go. He has.
You're such a writer.
Yeah, he has the look. I mean, what more could you ask for out of your rookie quarterback than a flowing mane like that?
It does remind me of, I read a study a long time ago where a bunch of scientists, sociologists came to the conclusion that good-looking athletes tend to be better leaders than those who are not considered as good-looking, because there's this like basic human urge to think of somebody with really good genes as superior. You know, it's really a horrible way to think, but and I wouldn't have ever brought it up myself if I hadn't seen a scientific explanation of this. And then you look at Tom Brady, and of course, you know, that all makes sense. But then again, you look at Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, you know, he's a face a mother could love. You know, it's not like everybody, and you know, he's got the kind of a male pattern baldness. It's you don't have to be great looking, but I do think that when you pull off the helmet and your hair is still fluffy, you do have an advantage over the rest of the field.
Yeah, I mean, God bless him, and I love him to death, but Carl Eller, you know, one of the great Vikings of all time, I don't know that you'd look at him as a handsome man. And so, yeah, I'm sure there's exceptions to every rule, but it makes sense to me, I will say, that good-looking folks can sometimes make good leaders, because I think leadership takes confidence, right? And when you are constantly positively reinforced, because you know you have those looks. I mean, I can speak from experience. I'm constantly complimented on my face and just how, you know, how just wonderful I am to look at, and that makes me a confident person that leads the athletic the way that I do. So I think there's merit to that for sure.
Well, I think that's all that needs to be said. I think we're done here today.
That's it. Good show. Let's wrap up and go on to the next one.
He's John Krasinski. He also does the John Krasinski Show at TalkNorth.com on the Timberwolves. A lot of great analysis there. I recommend that during this playoff series. We also have Jeff Diamond's Vikings NFL Insider with the former Vikings general manager. All this is provided at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or any show you like at the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. You can go to TalkNorth.com. You can find the other shows, including the John Krasinski Show. And again, if you like it, subscribe. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services, Twill and the Edina Galleria, my friend Scott Dayton's great men's clothing store, and TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR-TIME. So let's do the ESPN thing, since we're in a lull in the world of real NFL news. Let's ask the unanswerable question. When should J.J. McCarthy start for the Vikings?
Yeah, you know, this is such an interesting question, actually, I think, because logic would dictate that sitting for an entire year is beneficial to a quarterback's development, especially one who's young like J.J. McCarthy. Do not rush him into things. Let him take his time. Let him learn. Go the Patrick Mahomes route, the Aaron Rodgers route, the Jordan Love route. Like, that does seem to set a player up to have a better handle on things whenever they take over, whether it's a year, whether it's 2 years, whatever it is. And so I really do like that approach. I like the idea of that, of not rushing J.J. McCarthy into things, of not forcing it and really just allowing him to ease into it, to soak everything up, to learn his teammates, to understand what it takes to win in this league and to become a leader in that locker room. And so that's probably my preference. But the difference, I think, when you look at some of those other situations to the Vikings, is Jordan Love was able to sit because he was behind Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes sat because Alex Smith was an accomplished starting quarterback in this league and had put up some good numbers. And you could go into it thinking that your team was going to have a really good chance to win with Smith at quarterback and letting Mahomes kind of come along a little bit slower. I think it's entirely different with Sam Darnold in here. He does not have that track record of success. He has been a disappointment at the position, even though he was drafted very highly and was thought of very highly when he came out of the draft. Some of that may be situation. Some of that may have been because he was rushed into starting as opposed to not, you know, being able to marinate a little bit more and really soak things up and get a team around him. But the combination of the Vikings having an offense that seemed well built to have success immediately, along with having what appears to be a starting quarterback in Sam Darnold, who does not have a firm grip on the position, unlike some of these other instances where you have had an apprentice learning under one of the, you know, an established starter. I think it's going to bring a different dynamic. If Darnold struggles at all, there's going to be immediate pressure to put McCarthy out there. So how the Vikings handle that is going to be really interesting. And I'm of the mind that I think the best case scenario probably for McCarthy's long-term career is to sit and to watch for a year. But also, I don't think the Vikings, you know, just want to dump this season. And so if Darnold isn't ready, you may have to go to him sooner than later.
And I have a slightly different view of it. Everything you said is absolutely true. I think Sam Darnold is the kind of quarterback who can probably give you a good month, maybe two. Remember, I'd have to look up the exact years, but when he was with Carolina a couple of years ago, he actually had a really good September. Mm-hmm. And I think when the Vikings went down there to play them, he was playing well. That team was playing well, and the Vikings beat him. And you could just see the decline. You could see Darnold start making the mistakes he hadn't made previously in that season, and it all fell apart for him, and it all fell apart for the franchise. So I think Darnold is capable, depending on the schedule, of getting you off to a decent start, of giving you a fighting chance early in the season. I just think at some point he's going to play his way out of the starting lineup, and you just want to hope that McCarthy is ready for it at that point. If he's not, if you really believe internally that he's not, then you're better off taking the losses this season and having him ready to really go in year two. But I would guess that by the time Darnold is struggling, McCarthy might be ready, and he might benefit from just having him have NFL game experience going into the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an entirely possible scenario for sure. And I guess you don't ever really know when it's right until it is. Maybe McCarthy will come into training camp, go through mini camp. He'll go through all of this stuff in the offseason, and he'll come in and he just has a natural way about him and a natural fit. And it looks like he's ready. And so you go with him right from the start. But having a 4-week runway into the regular season could be just as beneficial for him as having a full season, in terms of if he can just get his feet wet, kind of stand on the sideline and watch for 3, 4, 5 games while Darnold kind of goes through things at the start. If he can soak up that atmosphere and that environment, and then kind of come in the middle of the season, maybe that's good. Now, typically that would happen if, let's say, the Vikings were 1-4 or something like that and off to a difficult start. And so he'd be coming in adverse situation anyway. And that would be a little bit tougher, but, maybe they look at it as, I wonder if there's just a scenario where Darnold is good enough to get them to, let's even say, like 3-2, you know, or 2-2, something like that. And then you make the shift to it, like, all right, Sam, thanks for your service, but JJ is going to be ready now, and we're going to hand it over that way. I wonder what the threshold, I guess, Jim, and my question is for Sam Darnold to hold the position. What is it going to take, do you think, for them to say, okay, you're starting, week one, and you're going to keep this job until you give it up. Well, how well does he have to play? How well does the team have to play?
Yeah, and we don't know the answer to that, but I would guess it's going to be a feel thing. You know, if you get to a point where guys in the locker room are looking around and going, this guy's not giving us a chance, it's hard to stick with the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Most of these decisions are not made scientifically. They're made on feeling the situation, whether it's player reaction, teammate reaction, how things fit into your long-term plan. So it's, you know, that's why it's an interesting thing to talk about, is we don't really know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Kevin O'Connell does with Sam Darnold. For every reason that was given that the Vikings were the best scenario for a rookie quarterback to come in, you can really argue that the Vikings are one of the best scenarios for a veteran kind of stopgap quarterback to come in, because all of the benefits that will be there for JJ McCarthy whenever he's ready to take over are going to be there for Sam Darnold right away. And that includes Justin Jefferson, excuse me, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, Jordan Addison, Darisa O'Neal, all of that stuff, all those pieces, along with a very quarterback friendly system and coaching staff, that's all there for Sam Darnold. So you could certainly argue that this is the best scenario for Darnold in his career to have some success and to go out there and be effective. And so if he can't make it work in this scenario, this is probably his last chance, I would imagine, at a starting job in the league, even though this one's going to be a short-lived one. So maybe I am too pessimistic about Darnold in particular, just that I have not seen enough of anything for him to be able to, or for me to be able to think, yeah, I see a real scenario where he's the quarterback of this team for an entire season and they're in the playoff hunt with Sam Darnold. But, you know, at the same time, all of the ingredients are there for him to be successful. So maybe he goes out there and plays really well and allows JJ to have the entire season without any real collateral damage inflicted on win-loss record and all of those things. And then next year you hand it over to JJ. I will say this, Jim, I think this is a one-year thing for Sam Darnold. I don't see this as a Jordan Love situation where he's sitting multiple years, anything like that. I think this is one and done, and Darnold can do what he can to either give himself another chance somewhere else to start, or he just kind of goes into career backup mode after this if he struggles and McCarthy has to come in the middle of the season.
Yep, all true. And here's another interesting piece of NFL history. The Seattle Seahawks signed, I think it was Matt Flynn, to a huge contract after he looked pretty good as Aaron Rodgers' backup. They gave him starter money. They built their plans around him. Then they drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. Russell Wilson showed up, and about a week into training camp, Pete Carroll looked at his guys and said, "Wilson's our starter."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the thing that makes that even easier for the Vikings to do is Matt Flynn did sign like a multi-year contract with starter level money. Sam Darnold's making what, $10 million this year? I think it is, or right close. Like, that's nothing. I mean, it's bigger than backup money, but it's not anywhere close to an even middle of the pack starting quarterback. So there's literally no risk for the Vikings that way. If during training camp, like Russell Wilson did, if it becomes abundantly clear that JJ McCarthy just has it, like, you know, it doesn't even have to be necessarily a reflection on Sam Darnold not being good enough. But if McCarthy comes in and has an absolutely perfect, start and just really has, if McCarthy comes in and just has that Russell Wilson aura about him, I know that that's a kind of a viewed in a different way given how things went in Denver, but there's no question that in Seattle, when Russell Wilson arrived there, he just took hold of that thing and didn't let go. So if McCarthy can do that here in Minnesota, and he just has the way about him, he has the leadership, he has the talent, and he looks ready, it's going to be very, very easy for the Vikings to say, this guy is ready. We're going with him right now, because Sam Darnold just does not have anything of a track record or any of the things that you worry about from a financial perspective that would cause you to think about giving him more consideration than he deserves.
No doubt about it. All right, let's talk about another important position for the Vikings and what they might actually be able to do right now to help fix it. But first, we want to let you know we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services.
Scott for Aquarius Home Services. Making your life better is a huge priority for us at Aquarius. It may start with providing worry-free water or heating and cooling systems you can trust, but there's another very important reason. Aquarius is family-owned and operated. We work hard to earn the right to be recommended. That means upfront, no surprise pricing, providing a five-star experience, and treating your home and time with respect. And knowing we're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com.
Also want to thank my friend Scott Dayton, who runs Twill by Scott Dayton in the Edina Galleria. Beautiful little shop, but not an intimidating shop. It's a very relaxed place. The people there are veterans. They like talking sports. They're good at helping you pick out clothes if you want that. They are very good at letting you browse without being bothered if that's what you want. They're just laid back, but they know what they're doing. This is a great time to go buy stuff for the golf course, for summer vacations. Great time to buy graduation presents for the men in your life, the young men in your life. And they also have they always have something unexpected in there. I remember I bought a certain kind of underwear there that I'd never seen before. It's really comfortable. They have handmade belts that Scott found from a place in Vietnam. They have all kinds of good Gopher and Minnesota sports apparel, but classy stuff, not, you know, stuff that you can wear to work, you can wear around. So, hey, golf stuff, highly recommend. Shoes, Peter Millar, Johnny O, Grayson, check it all out. And I also recommend going to twillmn.com, checking on their hours and location, and signing up for their email notifications. They will not spam you. They'll just send you something if they're going to have a special event, and they have a lot of special events. So Twill in the Edina Galleria, twillmn.com. Also, just to remind you, TSR Injury Law, they win a lot of cases. That's why they can hang out with Naz Reid, 612-TSR-TIME, 612-TSR-TIME. If you are injured, call that number. They'll take good care of you. All right, so cornerback. I still wonder if there's a move to be made here. Xavien Howard, Adoree Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, high-level cornerbacks, unsigned. The Vikings are a team that I think needs more depth and quality at the cornerback position. Do you see a move like that in the offing at this point?
You know, it's a great point that you bring up, Jim, because just in terms of, it seems like Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has certainly been in the mix still in the free agent market in other areas as well. Like they were at least looking, I think it was at Tyler Boyd. There was one of the receivers mm-hmm. that was out there. They were really given some hard consideration to and appeared to be, you know, making some overtures toward at least to try and bring in an established veteran player like that. It didn't work out. He went elsewhere. But I do think that the door is still open for Kwesi to be looking and shopping and not just for sort of bargain basement prices on retreads, but for players who could potentially come in and be starters for you, make an impact. And certainly there is a need at cornerback. And so I absolutely could see a scenario where the Vikings kind of get into it with Xavien Howard, with Stephon Gilmore, with someone like that. And even if those guys are not at their primes physically or are not exactly, you know, what they were at their best, I still think that you could argue that they would have a real value to an unproven group of cover guys. I mean, I just think of a few years back when Mike Zimmer brought in Terrence Newman. you know, he was not the Terrence Newman that was whatever the fifth overall pick and early in his career, but he was a real good veteran player. Patrick Peterson, another one. I think he played at a pretty high level while he was here, but just that leadership, that experience, I think was good for the secondary. So if you can target one of the guys that you think would come in and really hold it down and just provide more leadership as well, I think it's worth it. And I do think that the Vikings are in a position financially where they would go and trying to get one of those guys if it's, you know, if the right opportunity presented itself, I would say.
Yes, no doubt about it. By the way, Patrick Peterson's still available.
Is he? Is he? Yes. So, yeah, okay. I didn't. So he was in Pittsburgh last year, but he's still out there again. Okay.
He is still out there. He's kind of in the, you know, he's not one of the big names available at cornerback at this stage of his career. But if you just wanted a veteran guy who knew what he was doing, I guess you could probably get him fairly cheap.
Yeah. And look, and that might be more of the bargain bin kind of thing right now. Yep. You know, but I loved him when he was here.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the guy, the character, the leader, like all of that. Now, I mean, you still got to be able to play some. So that has to factor into the evaluation. But I'd like to see them go for someone who's probably a little younger, who has a little bit more left in the tank that way. But I mean, just getting him back into the locker room to talk to and to lead a young group, you probably could do worse. But yeah, I think that's one of those things of if all else fails, maybe you bring a guy like that back at you know, for a veteran minimum type deal and just see if he has anything left in the tank competitively.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll have a schedule to talk about here pretty soon. We'll have some more developments from rookie camp and OTAs. We appreciate you listening to TalkNorth.com, and we appreciate you listening to the Viking Update Show. For Brandon Morton, John Krasinski, I'm Jim Suhan. We'll talk to you next week.